I want you to turn to Psalm chapter number 40. Psalm chapter number 40. And as you're turning there, the second verse of Sunshine in My Soul Today, there is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the song I cannot sing. Now, I want you to realize something tonight, that as a believer, you and I have the distinct privilege to sing a new song unto the Lord. That's primarily the song that we sing. We sing it back to the Lord. Others get to benefit from it. As we sing tonight, you're not singing for the benefit of one another. As much as you're singing for the benefit of the Lord, you're singing praise back to the Lord. Now, we get to enjoy one another, and that's why we should sing out, and that's why we should sing to the best of our ability. Sometimes it's making a joyful noise, right? It is. But that's all right. In heaven, your voice will be fixed, okay? Your voice will be fixed. You'll sing a perfect pitch. You'll be whatever you wanted to be, whether it was for a guy you wanted to be a bass, you might be a bass in heaven. I don't know how. Maybe there'll be an extra couple parts in heaven to round it all out, but I'm sure it's going to be beautiful. Psalm chapter 40, the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. There is all around us, in the lost world, there is a cry out for God. Though most do not realize what they're longing for, people are crying out for God. They're crying for that hole in their heart to be fixed. They fill it with all sorts of things. Addictions. They fill it with wicked music. They fill it with music that drives them, a very worldly sound. They fill it with those types of things. They fill it with alcohol. They will fill it with relationships. They'll fill it with so many different things. They'll fill it with being distracted. They'll fill it with some other God. But God says, hey, there are people that are crying out. David, that's the testimony of his heart. But what happens when Christ comes into our heart is verse number 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And I want you to think about that. The life of the unsaved person is a life that is in constant sinking and drifting away from God. He's not getting closer to God. He is separated from God positionally, but his life is just continually deteriorating away from God. He's not getting better. He's getting worse. And set my feet upon a rock and establish my going. What happened? Jesus entered the picture. The rescuer entered the picture. The one who pulls you up out of the miry clay enters the picture. But I want you to notice the very next verse in verse number 3. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Let's say that together. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Friends, do you realize tonight that the songs that we sing here at Grace Baptist Church, the music that we push here at Grace Baptist Church is very, very important. It's important that it is distinctly different from the world. It's important that it has a different sound. Why? Because the world looks on, they hear it, and many times in today's popular Christian music, they do not see a difference in the music, in the vehicle of the words. They do not hear a difference. A lot of times they can hear from a distance and they wouldn't be able to tell whether it's a rock beat or a Christian rock beat. And legitimately, the Christian contemporary Christian music artists have designed it that way. If you like this type of music that is secular, well, you'll probably like this type of music that's quote unquote sacred. And friends, I want us to realize the Bible does not have this blurring of the line when it comes to our music. The Bible talks about a distinctly different sound in our music. That's why we are very careful here at Grace Baptist Church what kind of music happens on this platform. That's why at events, I want to be very careful about the music that is played. And I want you to know that as a church, it's very important to me. And if that is ever different, that's very important to me as well. And so I want you to realize God has put a new song in our mouth. Now I want you to flip over to one more place, and I won't take any more time, but I had a burden to share this this evening. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and let's go there and find ourselves in verse number 18. Because our theme this year is by his Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. What does that mean? Everything we want in our lives, whether it's the worship we give back to God, whether it's our interactions out in public, whether we're at a park, whether we're at work, wherever we are, we want our actions, we want everything we do. We want our music, we want our interactions, we want our appearance, we want everything to be under the auspices, under the authority, under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And so he tells us, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Drunkenness always leads to sinfulness. That's how the Bible will talk about it. In Proverbs chapter 22, it brings that up. It'll always lead to engaging in sin. And go on, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. So our lives as Christians is not to be one of drunkenness, but it is to be one of being completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. What is the immediate outflow of being controlled by the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in rap, in hip-hop, and in jazz. Singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. No, friends. Look at it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. What are those? Those are in the Bible. Psalms. Scripture-based songs. In fact, How Firm of a Foundation would probably be close to on going along with that. We were singing Scripture. We were declaring psalms. We were declaring Scripture-based psalms. Psalms. And hymns, those are songs that are doctrinally sound. They're based on Scripture. They might not be quotes from Scripture, but they're based on Scripture. Hymns and spiritual songs. Songs that do not please the flesh, but that please God and the Spirit. That are spiritual. You know what the Bible tells us? They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Friends, the music that we use is very, very important. And I want to just affirm that tonight once again. We need to allow the Bible to be our guide when it comes to our music. The music you listen to in your car, the music you listen to at work, all of it needs to be under the auspices of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not here saying, well, don't listen to this artist, listen to this, and so on. But I am here to say, you better be checking your music with God. You better be checking your music with God. Your music affects you. And your music was intended to be a light to the lost. Listen, when you pull up to a stoplight and you're jamming out to whatever that is, the car next door doesn't know whether it's Christian or rock. Listen, they should be able to pull up next to you and you should be able to put that up and it should be distinctly God-centered music that declares, I'm a Christian. There's a believer in that car. We don't really like the sound that's coming out of that car. I've never heard a sound like that, but something's different about it. That's a believer. And friends, this is important. Music is a battleground for churches. Battleground. There's constant pressure against pastors to bend and to form on this. It's a battleground. But I'm telling you, the Bible is on the side of remaining straightforward in our music, that it needs to be distinctly godly. If there's ever a question about music, we ought not do it. We ought not do it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we ought to be very, very careful about that. And it goes on to say, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Lord and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. So I wanted to share that tonight and encourage you. Now, some say, well, Pastor, every time I turn on the radio, there's stuff that sounds like popular music, or, you know, it's not really clearly, distinctly godly or glorifying to God like you're talking about. It kind of sounds like rock music. It might even sound, and I guess there is supposed to be Christian rap, which is kind of an oxymoron, friends. It's an oxymoron. Okay, so there's some music that sounds like that on the radio. Pastor, where do I go to find good Christian music? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Over in the bookstore, you can find some CDs over in the bookstore that would be good Christian music. There are many sites that offer good Christian music. I want you to write down this site, okay? There are many in this age of technology. You can download this app, and it's abidingradio.org, abidingradio.org. And there's some different styles of music on there in the sense that there's some more Smoky Mountain, if you like the guitar, ukulele, and all those things, there's that option on there. There's seasonal music on there. There's instrumental, and then there's vocal, and there's a good smattering of music. But I've listened to this. Miss Pam plays it in the office almost constantly, and it's a blessing of radio station. There's other radio stations, and I'll share them from time to time. Maybe I'll put out a blog with some different music resources that you can be filling your home with good Christian music. Listen, if you come in listening to music that is not godly, is not glorifying to God, it's going to affect the way that you worship in here, and it's going to affect your reception to the Word of God. Because the devil uses music to steal our heart on the truth. And so it's very, very important. You say, well, this is far out there, Pastor. All right, can I ask you to take a deep breath and just think on it? Ask God whether these things are so.